This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bosey's bringing in a lot of his friends. Randy Wynn is part of the front office now. What's Randy Wynn doing? Player development or something like that?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, so.
They're bringing back all the guys that got, you know, ties to the organization. You know, but look, let's see what happens. Like, they did what I wanted them to do, and so I'm seeing where it goes.
Yeah, vice president of player development, Randy Wynn. So that means he'll not be on Giants pre and post no more. Got to replace him. The hell are they going to replace him with?
I don't know. I'm not mad at the Bobby Evans thing. Look, I think Bobby Evans got a bad rap.
He's with the organization for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was here a long time. And I know Bobby for a variety of reasons. And he's always been very good to me. And I just think he's a good baseball mind.
I know Bobby.
Look, I'm telling you, I'm letting you understand my biases. Like, I'm letting you know that I'm like, I like the guy. So I'm rooting for the guy and I want him to be a part of the team. And there's a reason why he kind of stuck around the team even after he wasn't in the GM role that he was in before. It's because people like him. And I think he is well respected. And I think that he does know what he's doing. So,
You know what?
That's just my opinion.
We're bringing in Ted Wynn. You know why? Because I like him and I know him. And I know he does good work for The Athletic. And it's been a long time. I don't think I've seen you, Ted, since like Mitch Crispy Tacos or your watch parties. That was a while ago, Ted, as he joins us here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Ted, what's happening, man? It's been a long time.
I know. It's been a while, man. You've been an up and up since we've talked.
No, I've done not. Nah, that's been you, buddy. You got the followers, you've got the views, and you got the breakdowns on everything going on in the NFL, man. You do a hell of a job. You always have since I've known you. But, Ted, we're talking about Shanahan in the offense, and there's a lot of people freaking out. And I'm not here to say fire Shanahan or anything like that because I think that's asinine. But schematically, what do you see with this offense? Why are they struggling so bad in the red zone? Is it formation predictability? Is it the lack of being able to protect a cover zero blitz when you go five wide? What's going on with the scheme right now? Even though they're racking up yard after yard after yard, something just feels off, Ted.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we look at the Niners offense, a small part of it is scheme. I still think Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in football. And it's not like I think I know better than him. I think a part of it is scheme. I think a big part of it was Christian McCaffrey missing all these games, because when McCaffrey was playing, teams were just afraid of playing man coverage against the Niners, because that would mean that they would have to play man coverage on McCaffrey, put a linebacker on him. And this year, teams are just playing a lot of man against the Niners. They've been having a lot of trouble separating. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk started off really slow in the season. He never really got his footing down, and he was kind of the Niners' big play man beater when he was at his peak. And Deebo Samuel just hasn't separated like he used to. He's not getting those yak yardage, and he's not running like he used to. George Kittle is still very good, but he's dealt with some injuries as well. And since McCaffrey has gotten back, he just hasn't looked as explosive as he once was. Mm-hmm. So all these are problems. And then you have the Niners offensive line, which has never really been a strong point for them. And just the man coverage kind of disrupts what the Niners want to do as far as yak and throwing underneath. And it's forcing Purdy to look downfield and throw more. That puts more stress on the offensive line. And it's a lot to deal with.
You wrote a really nice article. You were breaking down specific issues with teams in The Athletic, and I highly suggest everyone to go read it. And there's been a lot made about audibly at the line, and we're talking about Brock Purdy. And look, this can be confusing for novice fans and things like that. And even most of the stuff is way over my head. So break down why the offensive line, Purdy, the offense, whatever it is, why are so many teams able to stymie them in these third down situations with blitzes?
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is we're talking about the Niners' philosophy of throwing hot. And it's a good philosophy. It works 95% of the time. It's clearly one that works well with Brock. He's very good at it. And what that means is when teams are blitzing or they're showing pressure, the Niners' answer to it is to throw hot, throw a short route and replace the blitz. This way the quarterback doesn't have to get bogged down with protections and learning all these blitzes and trying to sort out these blitzes and get into the perfect protection. That's hard to do. And just throwing hot and getting the ball to a receiver like Deebo Samuel or George Kittle or Juan Jennings and have them break some tackles in the open field, that's worked very well for the Niners. But it seems like, you know, going back into this year, teams have been able to force the Niners into throwing hot in critical situations, throwing short of the sticks. That happened against Tampa Bay, but didn't really hurt them. And it happened against Seattle on 3rd and 11 when they had a chance to ice the game. Purdy had to throw to Juan Jennings about 6 yards short of the sticks. And Tom Brady brought it up on the broadcast against Tampa Bay. He said, you know, you never want to get stuck having to throw hot in these critical situations and throw short of sticks. So it's not about audibling. I think that's the wrong conversation people are having. It's not about changing the play at the line of scrimmage. It's just about adjusting your protection in these one or two instances per game. And, you know, you can stick with your philosophy of throwing hot, but I think when you get in these situations where you want to be able to block these pressures up and throw downfield, when you need these yards the most, I think that's a small adjustment that the Niners could make. And Purdy is smart enough to do it, and he's had enough experience to where I think you could start to emphasize doing these things a little bit.
I learn something every single week when Ted Wynn writes his takeaways, the best, worst coaching decisions of the week. And obviously in week 10, he was breaking down the Niners blitz packages, the pros and cons of the 49ers blitz plan. Ted Wynn here on the River Islands guest line. I want to ask you this because offensively, sure, the red zone issues, and I want to get back to four bases in just a second. But before I forget, because I know you watch this stuff inside and out, are you seeing anything with Fred Warner? He doesn't seem like he's moving the same with the ankle injury. Is there anything on tape you're seeing from Fred? Is he still playing at the level he did maybe the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season?
I think he is. I mean, I think, you know, maybe he's not. I mean, he started off the season really hot, like making a lot of plays, very, very hard to make plays. And, you know, maybe teams have just found a way to kind of go away from him and not attack him in the passing game and that sort of deal. So I wouldn't say I saw a noticeable drop off with Fred Warner.
You study this film, obviously, like a scientist, and it's incredible when you do the breakdowns and all the different teams. Just a simple question. Is Brock having a good year this year?
That's a difficult question because I actually think Brock Purdy is a better player. Like, he's an improved player. And you see that in some of his metrics. Like, he's his air yards per target is way up. And overall, he just seems like a better player using his legs and throwing the ball downfield more. But I think he's not putting up those explosive touchdown numbers that we're used to seeing, and we're seeing a few more interceptions. So I don't think numbers always tell the full story, but I do believe Brock Purdy is a better player than he was in the last 2 years.
Wow. Ted, you brought up Deebo Samuel maybe not separating at a high level, and we've had that conversation for months on this show here. What about Ricky Pearsall? Because he only received two targets, and, you know, watching the game back, I'm thinking, man, it felt like Ricky Pearsall won that route. What have you seen from the rookie? Because felt like he was ascending after that Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think he definitely has the ability to separate, and watching him early on gives me some hope that, you know, he can replace some of that Brandon Ayuk production. And obviously, you're not going to be able to replace that sort of all-pro production as a rookie. But as I mentioned, they need a guy that can separate against man coverage, and that could be Ricky Pearsall. And in the last game, you know, there's times where he slipped a little bit, and as a rookie in this offense, I think it could be tough to know exactly where you are at all times, and that's something that he's going to have to learn and progress with as the season gets along. But I think he's going to have up and down games. Some games he's going to be able to separate and he'll find the ball. Other games, you know, he just might be a little bit lost, and it's going to take some time. He missed a lot of time, obviously, after he got shot. And but I am encouraged by what I see. I think he's a natural separator and good route runner, and you obviously see the explosion. But I think he'll come on a little bit more and be a little bit more consistent towards the end of the year.
Why are they stalling out in the red zone as much as they are? And forget last year, just this year. Is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it execution? What would it be if you had to narrow it down? I mean, we know it's a variety of those three, but how would you break it down?
I hate to keep going back to this, but I think, you know, Christian McCaffrey was such a big part of the red zone offense mm-hmm. last year as a receiver. Because, you know, when you get into the red zone, teams play a lot of man coverage. And Christian McCaffrey was that guy that could just beat a linebacker easily and get to the end zone. And he just had kind of a natural nose for the end zone when he got there. So this goes back to the Niners' problem beating man coverage. They just don't have a lot of reliable options right now in the red zone. And maybe as McCaffrey gets a little healthier, he could be that guy. Juan Jennings has missed some time, so he needs to get his timing back with Brock Purdy. But I think the answer is they need to run the ball better. They've been very inconsistent running the ball, and they need to be able to find ways to beat man coverage.
Green Bay, any elements, possibly any elements. Lambeau Field, how's their defense when it comes to man coverage? I know Jair's Alexander, I was kind of in and out of, we got to get him back on. He accidentally hung up. Get him back on because I want to ask him about Green Bay in just a second. Because I want to know how they are in man coverage. Jair Alexander at one point was on the sideline for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sure exactly what happened because I was rushing out to get down to Levi's Stadium. But I did notice that he was out of the game for a little bit. Not sure what's going on with the Green Bay Packers, but we'll get Ted Wynn back on because if they're going to play man coverage, which the Packers usually do, and I remember how they played man against the Niners last year in a playoff game, could be tough sled that Lambeau Field.
He said something that intrigued me at the
All right, we got him back. Okay. All right. Ted, good day. One more for you here. We appreciate the time this morning. Green Bay, where's their defense at? I know Jair Alexander, I don't know if he got pulled out the game, injured. I was kind of watching the game inside and out, Bears, Packers here. What's their defense like? Since the Niners have difficulties against man coverage, where does Green Bay's defense rate when it comes to playing defense? Are they a zone team, a man team? Break down this Green Bay Packer defense for us.
Yeah, well, Halfley comes from that Seattle tree. So they play a similar style of defense. To the Niners, in the games that I have watched them, they got a little bit more aggressive with the pressures. And they definitely, I think Jair Alexander missed time because he got injured. But if he does miss time, then they lose a lot of their ability to play man coverage. He's by far their best man defender. So watching his injury status going into this game is going to be big, but they're mostly a cover three team, and I think they'll bring a little bit more pressure than you'd expect because their four-man rush wasn't as good as they thought it was coming into the season. But they're not a high man coverage team, but, you know, just especially if Jair Alexander plays, I wouldn't be surprised if they challenge the Niners as most teams have.
Jair Alexander knocked out of the game with a knee injury. So I'm seeing that right here on their site. So he's questionable for this Sunday. Ted, man, appreciate the time.
Great
man.
Stuff.
You're doing a fantastic job. You found your calling, dude. It's good to catch up with you, brother.
Yeah, good catching up with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Anytime, Ted Wynn here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. So